I was going to say, morning, everybody. It is morning. We've got 15 minutes until it's afternoon. It's really good to be able to start this series on knowing God, following on from the vision, thinking about us being a church who is knowing, growing, and going. And it's a real privilege to be able to start this series because as a group, a vision team group, you know, working through the whole vision process for a year and praying and fasting and seeking God, and then to be able to have that clarity to then come to this point now where we begin a new series on the first part of the knowing, growing, going, which is knowing God. And it's really... it's great to be able to be in this position. We haven't arrived, we're just starting on that journey of this process of the vision. But I want us to be really open to what God is saying to us this morning. I'm going to exercise our brain cells as well as our hearts this morning. So if you've got a pen or paper or iPad or phone and you want to take some notes, that might be helpful. The reason being is that rather than just having the one text this morning, we have a number of different texts, so you might want to go and look them up again as we move through these. But what I don't be scared by that. I don't want this to be a theological seminar. I want us to have our hearts warmed by the truth of the gospel and who God is. And part of that is that we have to understand in our minds, and then we have our hearts transformed by the love of who God is. So we're going to begin this morning by thinking about knowing God and what does that really mean. I'm a faithful man, and I said, God, Allah, or whatever spirit in the world we believe, help us to bring back FIFA to where it should be. Sepp Blatter, who surrounded by controversy and politics of what's going on in FIFA, when I was watching the news and I saw this, I thought, what? Unbelievable. And it's indicative of people who want to hedge their bets on whether there's some kind of God out there, some kind of, you know, hocus pocus spirituality that, well, you know, I've got to get on in life, I've got to be successful, and what I'll do is I'll hedge my bets on, God or Allah or whatever spirit in the world we might believe in. And I want that to happen so that you might bring FIFA back to where it should be. So that, I'll leave you to decide the politics of that. But how often is it the case that people have a kind of journey with God or an understanding of God that's just about really helping ourselves? It's not necessarily about the glorification of God and knowing God, who is awesome and holy and powerful and loving and is Trinitarian, Father, Son, and Spirit. It's about what's in it for me. So therefore, I will adapt my understanding of God depending on what this God will give me. Now, it's probably highly unlikely that you at home have lots of idols around the fireplace and worship and bow down to those idols. But what is more likely in your life and my life is that we might create different idols that we create as gods. Your idol might be your career. It might be that success in your career is everything. That if your job was taken away, you would be crushed because your identity is based in your work. Your idol might be drugs. It could be that if your drugs were taken away, you couldn't survive. Your idol might be drink. Might not be that you're an alcoholic, but if you can't have that glass of wine while you're cooking the meal at night and that was taken away, well, you'd be a bit wobbly the next day. It might be that your idol is money. These are not things that we're putting in front of the fireplace and bowing down to, as it were, every night, but that we are maybe making idols in our life in Western culture where we live, and that looks a little bit different, doesn't it? And so therefore, we will choose to serve our idols. Whatever we love, we will serve. And so in the case of making up your own understanding of God, clearly in this situation, there is a purpose and there's a drive to do that. I just want to ask us a couple of questions and just reflect on these. If somebody asked you, do you know God? What would you say? if somebody asked you, who is God, what would you say? Just think about that for a moment. See, it's one thing, isn't it, to say that you know who God is. And that might even be unclear. Or it may be clear. But it's another thing to actually know God. You can know about God, but actually not know God himself. But what do we mean? And we're going back to basics in many ways. But what do we mean by God? Well, when we come to think of God, I want us to think today primarily about God being Father, Son, and Spirit. Now, when we hear that, we struggle with that somehow because we say, well, that's too hard. Have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and they say, well, God is Father, Son, and Spirit, he's Trinity. Explain that to me. And you're like, it's a bit of a mystery. Yeah, it's a bit of a mystery. Let's just leave it at that. Let's leave it at it's a mystery, okay? We can't really explain it. It's a mystery. Now, on the one hand, I don't want to dumb down the fact that the Trinity is a mystery and God is a mystery and is indescribable and is massive and is huge and is beyond our own dimension and space, time, and history. He's big. He's really big. But at the same time, Scripture shows us who he is. And he reveals, and the Scripture reveals to us that he is Father, Son, and Spirit. But we get caught up in all kinds of mind kind of acrobats trying to explain this. So we might, for instance, say, what's the Trinity? Well, the Trinity is like an egg. And you may have said this yourself, and you may believe this, but I believe this is a slightly deficient. This is quite hard doing this with the microphone. So we have an egg here as an outside shell, and then, hold on a minute. Is that Jamie Oliver? And there we go. And so we have the outer shell. That's one part, we might say, of God. And then we have the... Dear, I should have brought a tissue or something. Okay, I think we're right. Bev to the rescue, thanks, Bev. Good. Yeah. Is it clean? Yeah. And then on the inside, and not typically right, we have a yolk and an egg white. And we might say, well, that's a bit like a Trinity, because we've got the egg shell, we've got the egg, and we've got the white, which to some degree works, but in many ways doesn't. Because God is one, and so you can't say that the three parts there, when you separate them, are no longer one. Or we might say, well, God's like water, H2O, we have liquid, we have gas, we have steam, we might be able to freeze liquid, make it a solid. But again, they might work on one level, but they're not very heartwarming, are they? God's like an egg. Oh, great. Great if you're an egg farmer and you like that kind of thing. Or God's like water. Oh, great. But it doesn't really kind of warm my heart. It doesn't really make me think, oh, wow, that's amazing. God's like an egg or water. That's a real revelation. I can't wait to worship this God as like an egg or a glass of water. But God is Father, Son, and Spirit. So in Genesis 1, 26 to 27, we read, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Now, what I love about this is that in the very beginning, and I want us to begin to capture where we see the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit, all the way through Scripture, splicing all the way through Scripture. So that you may have seen this or may not have seen this before, but look at this. God said, let us make mankind in our image. Right away at the beginning, we have the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Spirit in existence. Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness. It isn't, let me make mankind in my image, in my likeness. that we see the Trinity at the very beginning in Genesis, that we're made in God's image. We are made in the image of a Trinitarian God. Now that needs a little bit of clarification, because we are not mini gods walking around. We have a creator and we are the created ones. We have a creator and we are the created ones. In other words, we're made in his image, but we are not God. We're made in his image of a loving God. Now, primarily, most of us think in our minds of God as being either creator or ruler. But what I want to warm our hearts and minds with this morning is God as a relational God who wants to relate to us, that we might relate to others in a loving way. You see, the reason that he created us in his image is because he's a loving God already in relationship to himself as Father, Son, and Spirit. I'm going to break this down and this will become clearer to us. And it becomes clearer by defining what he's not. So he is not a single person God like Muslims would believe. Allah is alone. So Allah is alone. Allah has no other relationship with anybody according to the Islamic faith. So therefore, he had to create people in order to be in relationship. But the difference between the Christian God that we believe in is that the Father, Son, and Spirit have always existed and have always been in loving relationship. And that's why we know what true relationship is, because he is a Father, Son, and Spirit in relationship to himself, the three persons of the Trinity. Now, I have a diagram which explains this a little bit better, I think. So the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the Father. But the Father is God, and the Son is God, and the Holy Spirit is God. They are all three persons together, God. They are not three separate gods. They are three persons who make up the Godhead. So they are in relationship to each other. It's not a single person God, but a God who is three persons in one. Now you might say, well, this is really warming my heart like algebra warms my heart. But I want us to really get hold of this, because when it's central to our understanding, when we realize that God is a loving Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in relationship. So the quick answer that you give to somebody is not that he's an egg, not that he's a glass of water, but he is a loving God who is a relational God, Father, Son, and Spirit. He is a relational God who loves you, because we see how much he's a loving relational God, because he's already, from the very beginning of time to the end, has been Father, Son, and Spirit in relationship to himself, and gives us the model of what it is to be relational. What a relational, loving God that we follow. We should take heart from that. The Father has a Son, that's why he's called Father. They are in relationship with the Spirit, all God. The Father has a Son. That, you know, you don't call yourself a father if you haven't got a son. It denotes what it really is. And they are in relationship with the Spirit or God. And a quote from a friend of mine, Ellis Potter, who says that God alone is God, but God is not alone. God alone is God, but God is not alone. Ellis was a former Zen Buddhist monk from California, a real character with a massive moustache. And he just realizes the significance of the Trinity, having been a Buddhist before, realizes that this is not a case of emptying your mind and, you know, denying suffering and all this, but actually realizing that here is a personal God who is not alone. God alone is God, but God is not alone. He's Father, Son, and Spirit, and he wants to be in relationship with you and wants you to know him more and more and be in relationship with him. Now, these depths of these truths are to be explored, aren't they? Don't get the impression that I'm saying is, well, we've just got a chart up there and that's it. So we've all decided this is exactly what the Trinity is. We've all arrived. We don't have to bother praying or searching who God is anymore. No, that's not the case. But I do think that we have confusion in our mind as to who truly God is. And so therefore, getting hold of the fact that God is primary, Father, Son, and Spirit helps us to realize he's a relational God who will relate to us and others. And so we'll see the benefit of this as we go through. First of all, knowing God then as Father. Let's break this down. Knowing God as Father. So John 5:19. Jesus said to them, "The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For the Father does what the Son does. Likewise, for the Father loves the Son." And so here in Scripture is a demonstration of that loving relationship that the Father has with the Son. The Father loves the Son and he does what the Son is doing. And I realize this morning as we talk about fatherhood that for many of us, that's maybe not a great thing. Maybe some of us have come from broken homes and we never knew our father. Maybe for some of us, we've known our father and he's maybe not been the father that we've wanted him to be. Maybe for some of us, we've lost the father and this whole area of fatherhood is hard. And we recognize that that's the case. But this father is different to your father, whether your father is or was the best or not great. This father is a loving father who promises to continue to love and love and love unconditionally. Jesus said to them, "The Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise, for the Father loves the Son." This is not just two guys meeting up for a meeting. This is a father and a son in a loving relationship. 1 John 1:3, "We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You see, that's what Scripture is pushing at, is that ultimately knowing God is about having this fellowship with the Father, Son, and Spirit. It's about growing in our understanding of who he is, yes, but it's not about knowledge just puffing up. It's about a knowledge that means that we will grow in our understanding with our mind, but our hearts will be transformed, that we will grow in loving fellowship of the Father, just as the Father and Son model to us. But knowing God is also about Jesus. 1 John 4:9, "This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So we were thinking about this in our series Love Is, but what we see here clearly is that Jesus reveals the love of the Father to us, so that when we look at Jesus, we see the love of the Father revealed to us, that the Father sends the Son. And so as Jesus came amongst us, God incarnate, as he walked amongst us, and as he cared for the poor, and as he healed the sick, and as he got in discussions with people, whether they were religious or irreligious, he demonstrates to us the love of the Father. As Jesus went to the cross, and as he suffered in agony and pain, breathing his last breath, as he took on the wrath of God, as he took on your sin and my sin, and that crushed him, he's demonstrating the love of the Father to us. That he was willing to lay down his own life as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So that as you come this morning, and as the week that you've had may have been a great week, or maybe it's a bad week, and as you sit here and you maybe feel guilty about the things that you've watched on TV, or as you feel guilty about the gossip that you've been caught up in, or you feel guilty about the things that you've done at work that you shouldn't have done, or the things that you've said or you shouldn't have said, then these things are as relevant for us today, because actually we again look to the cross and we look to Christ, the atoning sacrifice for us, who removes our guilt and shame when we come on bended knee in repentance and we see the love of the Father displayed in Christ. Once again, we come and we receive that love and we receive that grace, no longer condemned, but forgiven if we look to him. But knowing God is also about the Holy Spirit. The Trinity is not the Father, Son, and the Holy Bible. Trinity is Father, Son, and Spirit. So in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So we see the work of the Holy Spirit in the very beginning. And again, this is sometimes where we maybe get a bit confused. We've got to remember that the Father, Son, and Spirit are one from the very beginning. And yes, as we celebrated last week, Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't just turn up at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit is present from the very beginning in creation, hovering over the waters, part of the Godhead, three persons in the Godhead, in loving relationship, displaying the overflow of the love of God to us in a way that we would understand that God is truly, truly relational. Knowing God, the Holy Spirit, we also see evidence of this in Matthew 3:16. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at the moment heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased." So we see the Holy Spirit at work in Jesus' ministry, and particularly in his baptism. And I love the way that this is really an affirmation of the Father, Son, and Spirit. You see, it's Jesus who's being baptized, but he saw the Spirit of God coming like a dove on him. And then the voice of heaven, the Father, says, "This is my Son, whom I love, I am well pleased." See the evidence that we see for the Father, Son, and Spirit in relationship to one another. That Jesus is, in many ways, being affirmed as the Son in this relationship in his public ministry. So the Holy Spirit is not a bolt-on for Jesus. Jesus was fully God and fully divine. It wasn't as if Jesus said, "Well, actually, I'm just a bloke and I need the Holy Spirit to do anything." Jesus is fully divine and was in relationship with the Father, Son, and Spirit from the beginning of creation. But actually, the Holy Spirit here just comes and affirms truly who Jesus is to those looking. So the Father speaks and says, "This is with whom I am well pleased." As we begin to look through Scripture, and as we begin to see primarily that God is Father, Son, and Spirit, in your own personal readings and devotions, even in this week, begin to look for evidence of the Father and the Son and the Spirit being in relationship and desiring to know more and more what that looks like. And as I was looking at this, I was amazed as we're thinking about knowing, growing, and going, that if we want to know God, we need to understand truly who he is. And that's what we've been trying to do this morning, and we will be doing through this teaching series as we look at the attributes of God and that we see truly who God is for who he is. But also that the nature of God the Father and the Son and Spirit is not selfish. God created us to be in a loving relationship with us. And God is an otherly focused God, an ascending God, a God that wants our focus to not just simply be upon ourselves, but as we dwell in and drink from the fountain of his love, that we then fill up and go and ascend. And we see evidence of this within Scripture, which is mind-blowing and is beautiful. We see in John 3:16 that the Father sends the Son. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Look at the nature of the Father. The Father sends the Son. So it's in the Father's heart to send the Son. God so loved the world, and so God sent his Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The focus and the purpose on the mission is otherly, that actually God has a story, and he has a people, and he wants his people to come in and join in on the fact that he's sending the Son and enjoy the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. So we see that in Scripture here, in John 14:26, "However, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send on in my name, will teach you everything. He will remind you of everything that I have ever told ever told you. Again, isn't that great that in the story of God, that as Jesus is about to ascend to heaven, he then sends the Spirit. He doesn't want us to be alone. He sends us the help of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. And he will remind you of everything that I've ever told you. And that should be a real comfort for us. That this morning, if we sit here and we somewhat feel distant from God in our faith, if we feel demotivated to tell other people about the love of God, that it's the Holy Spirit who the Son sends that will come and has promised to be our helper, that will remind us of everything that he's taught. But it goes beyond that. And actually what happens next is that the Spirit's key role is to send us out in Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. See, can you not see the trajectory of what's going on here? That God is ascending God. It's not simply just saying, just, you know, come enjoy God and then actually don't bother telling anybody how great he is. And the reality is that if we just think that God is okay or a bit bored of God, and we think the gospel is just, we better work harder and do 50 things, and actually I don't think God really likes me or loves me anyway, because you probably just think I'm a bit stupid. Why would you want to tell anybody about Jesus? Why would you want to share the love of God? But if we capture the fact that he is an eternal God who is Father, Son, and Spirit in a relationship from the beginning of time, who has a purpose, the Father sends a Son, we receive the Son, we receive forgiveness, we receive salvation, the Son sends a Spirit, we receive the Spirit's help, and he's promised to be our helper, and the Spirit sends us out. The Spirit sends us out. Now, for some of us, that might mean he sends us out and sends us overseas. He might send us to a country where people don't yet know Jesus. And already, God is at work. I'm so encouraged that many of our young people are willing to do a year serving God. There are other people who... there are stirrings of God saying, I believe he's calling me overseas, he's calling me into a different work. And that's great, and we celebrate that, and we love that, and we want to see more of that. But also, the Spirit sends us out every day. So it may be to a relative that doesn't yet know Jesus. It may be to our workmates that don't yet know Jesus. It may be to our neighbor. It may be to our classmate at university or at school. It's not necessarily going and landing in the middle of a tribe and getting shot for the sake of Jesus. For the reality, most of us need to know, grow, and go in the 9-to-5 of the office, where we choose to not gossip or join in on what's going on, where we choose to be distinctive about how we live for Christ in the home and with our neighbours. We can know about God but not necessarily know him, or we might have forgotten him. This is the Queen. I'm sure you know what she looks like. If I was to step outside my house with my children and she was across the road and was waving as she does, I'm convinced that all of them would know who she is. All of them, without doubt, would know that's the Queen. And I'm convinced that they, along with me, would be completely freaked out about the fact that the Queen was standing across the road waving as she does. There would be partly a massive element of surprise, because that's just would not happen, but also a massive element of surprise because, be what your politics are, I would be in awe of this lady standing across thinking, wow, that's the Queen. She's been on banknotes and all kinds of things, but I know about her, but I've never met her. And I would be amazed in one way to see the Queen. And I would say, along with you, that I know the Queen and you know the Queen. But we don't really know the Queen. In order to know the Queen truly, we would have to spend many days and weeks walking the gardens of Buckingham Palace with the corgis. We would need to spend many months having afternoon teas and cups of tea, cucumber sandwiches. We would need to spend a great amount of time with the Queen in to truly, truly know the Queen. And I think that's a little bit what it's like with us and God. You see, we can forget who God is, we can know about God, and we might have once known who God is, but actually, we no longer spend time with God, no longer read the Bible, no longer pray, no longer wait and meditate upon Him. Because there's lots of things to be doing, we're busy. And some of that stuff is right and good. We've got a job. We've got. You may have kids. You may have friends to meet and relatives to visit. Maybe that we've never, ever come to know God. We don't know who God is. Or maybe that today we do know God, but actually we just need that desire to want to know Him more and more. None of us have arrived at our understanding of who God is. There's always more to explore with God. How deep and wide is the love of God? His ways are not our ways. And so, yes, we can understand that He is an eternal God who is loving in relationship. But there's always more to explore of who He is and that greater sense of intimacy that we need to know. Interestingly, as part of our mission in the Great Commission, we see that then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of," wait for it, "the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." So very clearly in the Great Commission that we maybe know and have seen and understand time and time again, is that we are making disciples of people in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, of this loving, eternal, relational God that who at the beginning wants to be in relationship with us and others. And so we hold out to one another and to those that don't know Christ the teachings of the Bible that say that He is a loving God, that we can know the Father, Son, and Spirit. And it's there clearly in the Great Commission. I want us, just as we close, to reflect on where we are with knowing the Father, Son, and Spirit today. Just to know where we are. Are we today desiring to know Him more? Have we become a little bit bored of it? Because actually we've had a wrong view of who God is, rather than a loving God who's made Himself known as Father, Son, and Spirit. Or is it today that we've never yet trusted in this God and need to come to know Him? Let's just take a moment just to reflect and ask what God is saying to us. Let's ask the Holy Spirit just to ask what He's been saying from what His Word has been saying today. Father, as we come before you today, we recognize so readily that we can put other gods before you. Maybe gods that we never really thought were gods, because they kind of seem okay and they're not even illegal. But we pray at the center of our lives that we would remind ourselves of you, the one true God as three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And be reminded in our hearts by the Holy Spirit of just how awesome and loving and kind you are. And help us to enjoy you and to delight in you and to glorify you. I pray that even this day and this week that we would stop and pause to think of just how much we need to know you more, and that we would spend time praying and seeking your face, spend time meditating on your word, and that as we fill up, that you would send us out to be the hands and feet of Christ to those we meet, wherever we are and wherever we go. We find our true joy in you alone, and you are our strength, and so we pray that we would enjoy you and delight in you and not rush on in the day to all the things that we need to do, but that we would stop, and that each moment of the day we would know that your presence is with us. Help us to desire you more than anything else, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.